APC Podcast here at AcmePackingCompany.com. Zach Rapport here, your humble producer, at Zach Rapport on Twitter. You can follow the show at the APC Pod on Twitter, and that's going to be your best place to get updates here in the off season, as we are not a weekly show. But if you've been following along, we are doing a little podcast mini series here for the NFL Combine, that annual meat market, and our corporate overlord Evan Tex Western, editor in chief over at AcmePackingCompany.com, is there live-ish, boots on the ground in Indy at the NFL Combine. So he's going to be doing a nightly report, and this is day two of that nightly report. I think running backs and offensive line is on the docket today. I have not listened to the portion that Tex has sent over, so again, maybe he's just going to talk about what a loser I am. So. But anyway, why don't we just pitch it right to Tex, and day two of the Combine coming up.
Hi, everybody. This is Evan Tex Western from Acme Packing Company, back checking in again from the second media day of the NFL Scouting Combine. This is Thursday, March 2nd, and it's the first day we actually get to talk to some players. So we finally have some actual draft prospect discussion to go through. We also had a few coaches and GMs kind of straggling along over the course of the morning before the players started to come out. So we got a couple of interesting items from some of those individuals as well. One of the things I'll start off with right off the bat, and I know I complained about it a little bit yesterday, but the new setup and schedule for the Combine leads to a couple of particular things for those of us in the media. And the first one is basically it's a three-hour sprint dealing with players towards the end of the day. Everybody comes out between 2 and about 4:30, and instead of trickling through and getting to talk to 20 or 30 guys per day, that number is drastically cut down just because of the way they're doing things. So I'm going to apologize in advance for not having as many different players that I was able to talk to this year as opposed to the last couple years from the Combine, but unfortunately that's just kind of how it is. So we'll jump into coach and GM speak first off. One of the coaches that I sat in on his press conference for was Mike Zimmer, Minnesota Vikings head coach. One of the big things that I kind of took away from that is it sounds to me like Zimmer is not counting on Adrian Peterson being coming back to Minnesota. Really sounded like he was focused on talking about the fit of a running back, both in terms of draft prospects and potential free agents. Just how do those individuals fit in the offense? And based on what he was saying, he kind of alluded to some things about how the league is going a little more shotgun, as well as scouting and things. But it sort of sounds that he's moving on from Peterson at this point. So that's not a big surprise. Again, he's not the kind of back who does well in a heavy pass offense, a shotgun type of offense. And so if that's the way that Zimmer and offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur look like they're going to go, then it's probably in their best interest just to move on. One of the other interesting items revolved around the Cleveland Browns. And right about 9 o'clock at the very first press conference was Hugh Jackson, the Browns head coach. And it was pretty funny because they were just a few minutes earlier, the quarterbacks had gotten their measurements in, and we had found out that Mitch Trubisky, the quarterback from North Carolina, measured in just, I think it was 6 foot, 2 1/8 inch. And somebody asked Hugh Jackson what his cutoff was for a quarterback, and he said 6 foot 2. And then somebody right after that said, oh, well, did you know Trubisky measured in at 6'2 1/8? And he's like, he did? Well, then I guess he makes the cutoff. It was kind of an amusing little moment, and the sort of thing where you start to see information spreading and throughout the combine and actually breaking news to some of these coaches and some of these things. So it was kind of a funny moment. But the big deal was the players today. The running backs and offensive linemen met with the media. Again, I mentioned kind of how that works. But I wanted to focus on a couple of Wisconsin running backs. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of Badger fans out there, hopefully, who listen to this show, and hopefully you'll get some interesting items out of these items. Talked to a couple of other offensive linemen as well, and got to sit in on a little bit of Christian McCaffrey's press conference as well, so I'll touch on him real briefly. But the first running back I talked to was Corey Clement, Wisconsin running back. I measured in at 5'10" flat and about 220 pounds. He's built like a brick house, and he's He actually was a little shorter than I anticipated. So with that body type, I mean, certainly he's built to shoulder a load as a primary kind of a power running back. But one of the most interesting things that Clement said was that he actually talked to a Packers scout, and that scout told him that the Packers, and these are his words, quote, might even draft two running backs this year. I don't know if that's a smokescreen. I don't know if that's the kind of thing that a scout tells a player just to get him excited about a particular team, but it kind of tells you a little bit about how the scouts and the personnel department are looking at this running back class. It certainly looks like a deep class. There's a lot of talent there. You can get a lot of talent into rounds 4 through 7 on day 3 of the draft. And Clement could be one of those guys. I don't get the impression that he's being looked at as a certainly not as a high pick. Maybe he could sneak into the end of round 3 on day 2, but more likely he's probably an early day 3 pick. So is his teammate Dare Ogunbowale. And we kind of talked a little bit about the two of those guys playing together and how they're really formed a great 1-2 punch for the Badgers, with Ogunbowale taking a lot of the reps as a third down back in the receiving game, as a pass blocker, and Clement being more the hammer throughout most of this year. And Clement was, he was totally complimentary of Dare, saying he's really the complete package, running, catching, blocking. Can play special teams as well, which is obviously a big thing. Ogunbowale has some experience returning kicks too, so that could be an added little bonus. And Clement was saying that Dare is just a great character, and he's a stand-up guy, and he's got no red flags or anything, so that's certainly a plus for him as well. Also talked a little bit about Melvin Gordon. 2 years ago at the Combine, I asked Gordon about Clement, since he was kind of the heir apparent at running back for Wisconsin, and Gordon just glowed about the kind of back that Clement could become in a couple of years at Wisconsin. It obviously didn't quite turn out that way, especially for the first year after Gordon left. That was the year where Clement had the issue with the groin injury, went over to Germany to have some surgery and some treatments on it, and then Ogunbowale, that was the year that he kind of took over as the main running back. So it was interesting to hear him. Clement talking about the surgery, how that went. Sounded like he thought that he kind of pushed himself to come back a little bit too early, based on some of the comments that he was making. So that was certainly interesting. But he mentioned how Gordon really taught him how to be a competitor and how to make sure he's bringing 100% every play. The phrase he used was never be the last one in the door, never be the last guy to show up. So that was interesting. And then I asked Clement again about, what are the backs that the Badgers have now that are coming up? Talking about Tywan Deal and Bradrick Shaw. So it was a nice little conversation. He said, Shaw's really got a fiery demeanor when he's got the football in his hands. He said you can really see the fire in his eyes, but that those two guys are probably going to be competing for the starting job when camp rolls around. As far as Ogunbowale, he was switched from cornerback to running back before that season after Gordon left. And we talked a little bit about what that helps him do as a running back. And he said he can really see the defense through their eyes, having played on that side of the football. And that really, I think, helps him in pass protection, because he can kind of anticipate the blitz concepts, the coverage schemes that are being used by opposing defenses, and kind of understand what they're trying to do. And that helps him, again, as a pass protector, because he's going to have a better idea of who's coming, what type of blitz packages are going to be used, and so on and so forth. He also talked about how, his identity is kind of as a third down back, that receiving option, the pass blocker, but he also kind of wants to be known as an all-around back, as a guy who can run between the tackles and run some outside zone and things. He feels he's kind of underrated in those facets of the game. So I look forward to seeing what he does in kind of a more featured role, and if he does take on more of an all-encompassing, kind of a running back role, as opposed to being limited to that sort of third down identity. Obviously, again, that's the area where he does well, but he also measured in a little bit bigger than I anticipated. He was 5'11 and 213, I believe, which is a pretty good size for him, and certainly is a little bit bigger than a lot of these kind of receiving running backs who kind of carry that third down back label. A couple of the offensive linemen were very interesting to talk to. Again, sticking with the Badger theme, I talked to Ryan Ramczyk, the left tackle out of Wisconsin. He left a year early after playing just 1 year at UW. He took a real interesting path to get to Wisconsin, too. So he started out by going to Winona, or committing to Winona State, and then he kind of pulled that commitment and ended up at UW-Stevens Point, Division III, where he played there for 2 years, was all-conference, all-region player, and then got the offer to come to Wisconsin to drive down a couple hours to Madison and play there. So spent his first year sitting out and redshirting, where he got to play against, or practice against, guys like Joe Schobert and Vince Beagle. That really, I think, you know, he talked about how that helped him develop and develop his confidence as a pass protector, going up against those guys in practice. And then obviously he had a stellar year, his junior year here in 2016, as a pass protector and as a run blocker. One of the questions about Ramczyk has been his medical history. He had some surgery, I believe it was hip surgery this earlier this year, and he said everything looks real good as far as the surgery goes. Said the doctors checked him out this week at the combine, said everything looks clean, looks like the surgery took well, and so he's still doing all his upper body workouts and everything. He's just not going to be running at the combine. So it's an encouraging sign for him. He probably will miss most of OTAs, but should be ready for the start of training camp for whichever team ends up drafting him. So that's certainly a good sign. He did also say the teams are asking him about playing tackle, guard, even had a couple teams asking him about playing center as well, which is interesting. Certainly has the size, the arm length, the quickness to stay at tackle. I think a lot of that's going to be determined by the scheme that the team that drafts him uses, and you know, what they think of his physical tools and frankly the needs on that offense as well. We've started to see Ramczyk's name pick up a little bit more as far as mock drafts go regarding the Packers at the end of round one. And certainly if that were the case, the thought there would be that he would probably be looked at as a replacement for potentially TJ Lang leaving in free agency. That obviously, you know, is no sure thing yet. Lang could still re-sign. We could end up in a situation where the Packers don't really need a guard that badly after all. So we'll see what happens there. But it certainly sounds like he'll be ready to go, and as far as the medical aspect goes, and good to go by the time training camp rolls around. One of the other guards that I really wanted to talk to was Dan Feeney out of Indiana. And Feeney played with Jason Spriggs for several years. Well, the two of them were line mates on the left side, Spriggs playing left tackle, and then Feeney being the left guard. And obviously, Spriggs being the second-round pick of the Green Bay Packers, there's that natural connection there. And Feeney was saying that those two have a real good relationship, that they've been chatting and texting the last several days, talking about Spriggs' combine experience last year, suggestions on what Feeney can do this year to kind of help himself and how to handle some of the pressures and all the associated events and schedule and everything of the combine. So that was good to see. Something I didn't realize about Feeney, though, is he grew up just in Indiana, but near the border with Illinois, and he grew up as a Bears fan. So certainly he said he'd be, you know, he'd be more than fine to play for the Packers if they did end up drafting him. Obviously, that wouldn't be an issue for him. You know, he's taken the approach, as most of these guys do, where, you know, I don't really care who drafts me, I just want to get in the league and play. And that's the type of answer you see from 99% of these players. One of the fun things that Feeney talked about, I found an article about him from the Indianapolis Star a little while back, talking about how he loves to grill. He's you know, he's an aficionado. I guess he would grill out and cook out for a lot of his teammates and his roommates throughout the season and in the off season. So I had to ask if he's a propane or a charcoal guy. And to my disappointment, he told me he's a propane. I'm a bit of a griller myself. I prefer to go charcoal at any opportunity I can. Obviously, there's situations when it's not appropriate or not feasible, but he said he grew up working with propane, and so that's where, you know, he feels most comfortable. So I can't really fault him too much for that. Sticking with that theme, I also asked him what cut of steak he prefers the best, and he gave a very typical offensive line answer, so I had to laugh about that. He said his favorite cut was the porterhouse, and when I asked him why, he said, well, because it's the biggest cut of meat. Pretty typical offensive line answer. He did also say that he likes ribeye as well, a lot, because they marinate pretty well. So that's it in a nutshell for today. Unfortunately, didn't get a chance to talk to a whole lot more prospects. I will touch real briefly before we wrap up on Christian McCaffrey, the Stanford running back. He was very, very open about taking questions and everything. You can tell he comes from a family that has dealt with media attention. Obviously, his father, Ed McCaffrey, being a member of the Broncos for a number of years. His brother, Max McCaffrey, currently with the Packers. So there's kind of an interesting connection there. But he did mention his special teams ability, and that was something that he really clearly takes pride in, particularly in the return game. As far as, you know, being able to make big plays, he feels like he can make a big play anytime he has the ball in his hands, and that's an added bonus and an added way to make sure he gets touches. One other thing he was talking about, he did play for a year with Ty Montgomery, obviously Packers running back, former wide receiver, and he said he was real excited for Ty when he made the switch to running back this year and had some success doing that, especially with that game against the Bears where he had about 160 yards. So McCaffrey said that, yeah, you always knew those kind of skills were there, those tools, the ability to be versatile, play out of the backfield, play in the slot, play out wide. But he was very happy for his former teammate Montgomery when he had some success at the running back spot. So that was kind of a cool little moment there. Well, I think that's it for today. Going to go grab a bite to eat and relax a little bit. We'll come back to it tomorrow. Tomorrow we have the quarterbacks, the receivers, and the tight ends. So hopefully we'll have some good nuggets from the tight end class, maybe from some wide receivers as well. Got a couple of names in mind in particular. If anybody has any ideas, hit me up at Tex Western or at Acme Packing Company, Acme Packing Co. on Twitter. We'll see if I can address any particular players or make sure to sit in on their media availability at some point in the next day or two. Especially again, the tight end group, the wide receivers, the quarterbacks, that's what's coming up this on Friday. So we'll have a recap of that for you tomorrow. And until then, go Pack, go.
Okay, there you have it, straight from the horse's mouth. Evan Tex Western, our corporate overlord, editor-in-chief over at acmepackingcompany.com. Reporting live from the NFL Combine, that was his day two summary. Keep it locked in here. Going to get Tex's take every single night of the NFL Combine. We'll be posting these overnight, and lots of good stuff coming up here down the pipe. And then keep it locked in again. In 2 weeks, we're going to get back together, the pod crew, as well as Tex, to talk a little free agency, talk combine wrap up, all those off-season nuggets that Packers fans love to dig into. So subscribe on iTunes, on Stitcher, all that good stuff, and follow us on Twitter at the APC Pod for the latest news and updates. And we will catch you guys again tomorrow for day 3 of the NFL Combine update. See ya.